The kingdom of heaven is the treasure we all are seeking during our life, and this was also Saint Joseph's desire. He was always looking for the kingdom of God, this most precious treasure. Today, on Wednesday, our preaching schedule is Saint Joseph, the head of the Holy Family. And in fact, Saint Joseph is called a just man. That means, in the language of the Bible, is a man who possesses all virtues, and that is a saint. And he's a saint because he was looking for the ultimate treasure. And because he was looking for the kingdom of God, he was willing to leave everything behind. God could now entrust to him the greatest treasure. Saint Leo XIII declared, Joseph is the man into whose custody God entrusts his most precious treasures, and that is Jesus and Mary. What trust did God have in this holy man? With Saint Joseph, God's plan was safe, we can say. He made him the head of the Holy Family, entrusting him the greatest gifts he has ever been given to humanity. And now we are all called to imitate this example. We also can put all our trust in Saint Joseph in all our different affairs of our lives. There's almost no area where Saint Joseph cannot help us. In order to understand the greatness of Saint Joseph and his mission for all domestic families, we must realize that Jesus, the son of Mary, is also the son of Joseph by virtue of the marriage covenant with the Blessed Mother. Joseph and Mary were betrothed. In the Old Testament, betrothed means not engagement, what we today understand with betrothal, but they were legally already married. They were legally already married, lawfully husband and wife. They would then normally wait 1 year till they actually then would live together. Often, this is people believe they were not really yet married, and so today often this is taken as justification to live together, no, having children out of wedlock. No, Our Lady and Saint Joseph did not have Jesus out of wedlock. God in his divine providence provided. So they were really legally married. Next to Mary, no creature has received such a unique mission as Saint Joseph did. It was a mission which presupposed extraordinary maturity and the perfect practice of all the virtues, especially fidelity. And Saint Joseph was committed to his family. Saint Joseph participated in the fullness of Christ even more than the apostles and all the other saints. Imagine he lived 30 years side by side with the God-man and the Blessed Mother. Joseph heard Jesus speaking. He clothed him. He watched over him. He loved him. He touched him. He hugged him. He kissed him. He listened to him. He played with him and worked with him. Through this special contact, he could contemplate the Word of God in a unique way. His words, his gestures, he could look deep into his eyes and in a certain sense into the very soul of our Lord. And here, our Lord, like Moses, he was contemplating the face of God, and he was transformed from glory into glory into glory. Exteriorly, this radiance was not seen in Saint Joseph, but it was even more there than in Moses. He also participated in the spiritual fullness of the Blessed Virgin Mary in their married life. Mary did not deprive her spouse of the benefits deriving from her own unique holiness. This lies in the nature of marriage. You have in English the word wedlock for marriage. And wedlock expresses that the two parties are held together to help one another to reach the goal. That is union with God. Mary led a most graceful life in the presence of Christ and the angels. And she shared these blessings with Saint Joseph. Through the marriage covenant, you also share each other's gifts. You share your bed, you share a bank account. Actually, you should share even your thoughts, your heart, everything. The more this marriage covenant grows, the more you share in each other, in each other's life. It's because of these facts that the church believes that Saint Joseph is, after Our Lady, the greatest saint. He surpasses in holiness even all the angels because of his unique mission and his relationship to the mystery of the Incarnation. Saint Joseph, he is called the protector of the Holy Family, the protector of the Redeemer. Redemptoris Custos is an encyclical letter on Saint Joseph written by John Paul II. We know that Saint Joseph took the child and his mother to flee to Egypt. And then the angel appeared to him in a dream, warning him of Herod's intention to kill the child. God entrusted to him the mission to be the protector of the Holy Family, but this protection then is extended to the whole church and through Saint Joseph, also the protection of all domestic families. In a certain sense, to all those who belong to the mystical body of Christ. Teresa de Avila was a great devotee to Saint Joseph. She says, I took the glorious Saint Joseph for my advocate and protector and commended myself earnestly to him. I do not remember once having asked anything of him that was not granted. God seems to have given other saints power to help us in particular circumstances, but I know from my experience that this glorious Saint Joseph helps in each and every need. In a special way, he helps families in their needs. And the reason for that is, according to Saint Teresa de Avila, she says, our Lord would have us understand that since on earth he was subject to this man who was called his father, whom as his guardian he had to obey, so now in heaven he still does all that Jesus asks. And therefore it's of great benefit and almost a necessity in all our material and spiritual needs and for each family to really to go to Saint Joseph. Etiat Joseph, there's an old maxim. So we should also have an image, a statue of Saint Joseph in our homes in order that we're reminded that he is the house father of our households. There's so much we can learn from Saint Joseph. His readiness to serve. His readiness to serve. Today, the spouses will also renew their marriage covenant, their marriage vows. You will say, at your marriage day, you said, I take you as my spouse. And this will renew today. When you said this on your wedding day, you received a treasure, a gift given from God to you. Yes, your spouse is a gift to you. But you also say when you renew your marriage vows, I make myself a gift to you. You know, Jesus even said in the Last Supper account, Father, they are a gift to me. Each one of us is a gift to Jesus, a very precious gift of immeasurable value. But this finds also an expression in marriage. What trust must we have when you, spouses, when you promise on your wedding day, I give myself to you, I make a gift to you. And we hope that this making a gift of oneself will never be betrayed. It needs to be treasured. How grateful must each of you be that the other says, I make myself a gift to you. How grateful must you be to God and your spouse? Now, how is then this mutual self-giving lived in daily life? Not in the way that one is the one who rules and the other only has to obey. John Paul II in Familiaris Consortium made very clear Mutual submission is the key word in a marriage covenant. Mutual submission. Why mutual submission? Because you find mutual submission in the Blessed Trinity. You find mutual submission in the Holy Family. I don't think in the Holy Family it's just Joseph said, do this and do this and this, and Jesus and Mary just obeyed. I don't think either that Mary was simply ruling and Saint Joseph, because he was low in sanctity, he was just doing what the Blessed Mother wanted him to do. Now, they were sitting together and first asking, what is the will of God? And then they were coming to an agreement. And so it must be in your life, mutual submission. First, always, when you make a decision, what does God want of us? What would God want us to decide now in regards to our kids? They go to what college and so on. There's also subjects which do not strictly fall under a commandment or what leads us now more perfectly to God. It can be things in the household, you know that better than I. For example, what carpet do we get for our hallway? A red carpet or a green carpet? So the wife likes the red carpet and the husband likes the green carpet. So what do you do now? Mutual submission. You should be eager to say, oh, let's go with yours. Let's have the green. Or let's have the red carpet. Maybe the end of a red-green carpet, I don't know. It doesn't look good, I think. But this is mutual submission, and each time, you know, when you discuss things, be eager, say, yes, let's do it your way. If not a commandment or something that really, it's about holiness. Now, but there's so many different things in our life, buying a dishwasher and so on. You know, God is not interested whether you have the perfect carpet or the best dishwasher for your home. He doesn't care about it. The only thing God cares about it, that you are one, that you are able out of love to submit each other to each other. It's the only thing God cares about. You know, the Blessed Trinity is a mystery of unity. And this is, seems to me, what God cries out, the Blessed Trinity, to you all and to us, the brother priests. Be one as we are one. And each time you commit yourself to your spouse in this way, yes, let's do this way, yield to him, your spouse is strengthened and gains trust in you. And next time will be much easier for your spouse to submit to you. And your marriage bond with each act of loving sacrifice, renounce, holy renunciation, your marriage bond grows and grows and grows. Know what will be the end, the result? You will not be one in body just, but will be one in mind and heart. This is really the goal of a marriage bond. And this is really true. I heard it from couples. They were loving each other so much, submitting each one to the other so much, looking only for the good of the other, that in the end they really could feel each other in each other. They knew the thought of the other. They knew what was in the heart of the other. They didn't need to talk much. I heard these stories from couples. And this is also possible for you, this unity not only in the body, but in mind and heart. And this was exactly the family life of the Holy Family. And you families must make notable in this world the Blessed Trinity here on earth by your example of unity. And you must make notable and sensible to the world the image of the Holy Family. And it is unity. And this always presupposes sacrifice. And it's always God who ultimately you seek. He is the great treasure. He's in all that present. You always see God, and in him you will find the light for mutual sacrifice, loving sacrifice for the sake of each other. And then each of you will become a great treasure that leads each other to God. So St. Joseph, you husbands, is a great example for you in mutual submission. He was serving the Holy Family. He was willing to leave his carpenter job in order to care for the Holy Family. He put himself totally at the service of his family. He was willing to go to Egypt, staying there in a pagan country, without a temple, without his own people, because he was fully committed in faithful love to the Blessed Mother and Jesus. And this is our vocation, we in the priesthood in our way, and you in your family life. But you families make present the Holy Family and the Blessed Trinity's life, and we need your example. We priests need it, the whole world needs your example. And this is a challenge to live this unity. Now let's pray, a prayer to St. Joseph, that he may help us really to live unity in the family. It was on October 13th, 1917. The Holy Family appeared, and St. Joseph was blessing the whole world, especially the families, I believe. So put your trust in St. Joseph. Meditate upon his virtues, also in the Blessed Mother, in their married life. Again, mutual submission is the big word. This is what the Blessed Trinity is. This is what the Holy Family is. Not just one obeys and the other rules. Saint Joseph, behold the family is kneeling here before you. The family is a holy testimony of God, which God already pronounced in paradise. Bless these families, bless their children, bless the houses in which they live, and protect them with the help of the holy angels, that they may make their way safely through this life to the throne of God in heaven. Amen.